Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
She was very far from being unattractive.
So, we were actually, like, I was telling everybody, like, what we kind of have plans to talk about on the show. And first off, I guess we should talk about the big news being Hell Froze Over. This is actually the second time in my life that Hell has frozen over. The first time being when the Eagles reunited and toured and did a new album. And now the second time Hell freezes over, Bruno Sammartino has decided to accept the WWE's offer to go into their Hall of Fame. And a lot of reaction to it. I think most positive, but you do have your whiny little internet cunts that are totally, you know, they can't believe it. They're so disappointed.
The ones that would complain that he's not in the Hall of Fame, and now he's going in, they don't like it.
Yeah. And it's just like people always have something to complain about. And it's like, you know, they'll hear like a part of an interview or so-and-so, but like he said on David Bryan's show, he's always made it clear that the door was, even though he himself believed it would never happen, he always kind of said if, you know, they did the right thing, that maybe it would kind of be open. But, you know, people don't focus on that. They focus on, you know, all the bad stuff. But I'm excited. I have tickets. I will be there live. I will be that, according to legend, I will be at the 188th sellout of MSG by Bruno Sammartino, and I'm full and can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest Hall of Fame induction there's maybe ever going to be.
For the first time, you can actually say their Hall of Fame has some legitimacy to it. I mean, it's still stretches because of some of the people who are in the Hall of Fame, and some that will go in there. But as far as like the last few years, they really have tried to, you know, put people that really mattered. And we're talking about like it was such a their Hall of Fame was always considered a joke by people outside the business just for the simple fact that he wasn't in the Hall of Fame.
A limo driver was.
And basically he was not the first WWE World Champion. Basically, the first WWE Champion was the Nature Boy Buddy Roberts, the original. Buddy Roberts. Wait. Well, anyway, the original Nature Boy. He was actually the NWA World Champion, and it came to a time where they wanted Lou to be the champion again. So Lou went in and he beat Buddy. And this is also the match where he said we could do this the easy way or we could do this the hard way. And of course, Buddy decided to go and do it the easy way. So he lost the title, but Vince Senior did not want he wanted to keep Buddy as the world champion. So he kind of, like, refused to, like, acknowledge it, and he kept saying that, Buddy was a champion. And he actually asked the people who ran the magazines and the reporters who covered wrestling at the time to please not report it. And, which is funny that, you know, I mean, I'm sure it came close, but, he was unable to get him to do that. So, you know, he decided that he had to leave the NWA, and he was going to keep Buddy the champion, and they basically did. I actually didn't know they did this, but it was the same thing they did for them when they started the Intercontinental title, whereas they had a work tournament in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and Buddy Roberts won this tournament and became the WWF World Heavyweight Champion. It was, not only was it an F, but there was an extra W back then. And I'm not sure how long he was champion, but basically Bruno came in and beat him in under a minute. You know, just took him out.
Yeah,
and then,
I think like 45 seconds or something, like with old shoulder backbreaker or something like that.
Yeah, it was real quick, and it must have been like really like impressive, you know, to everybody, all the fans at the time. And basically his first title run, what, 7 years?
Yeah, I think 7 years. I think he obviously got the longest reign. I mean, the longest uninterrupted reign. I'd say, who would the next one be? Bob Backlund?
Bob Backlund, and then I think Bruno would be third.
Yep, that's right. Coincidentally, they were both going in this year, the two longest reigns.
Yeah, we can actually talk about Bob in a little bit here. But, yeah, so basically, you know, Bruno was big superstar in the east of the country, you know, and he was Italian, and a lot of the cities where they their main like cities, New York and Boston and Pittsburgh, and a lot of these cities had a lot of Italian population, so he drew incredibly. Like it's so funny because okay, they didn't make anywhere near the money they make now. I mean, you can't compare the money wise, but could you imagine if like Bruno got paid for like the house shows or whatever they get paid today, and well, what he did? I mean, because okay, Dave Meltzer set the 187 sellouts is kind of a work number because they just kind of like. It's not exact because it is, you know, they're just trying to go by memory and by how many shows. But didn't he say it was still something like 130-something, you know?
Yeah.
And
it's just a big number.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan has, like, doesn't have that many, you know. And Hogan was champion for, like, a long, 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 long time. And
that's like when they were back there, they ran the Garden every month.
Yeah, yeah. And they ran it every, they sold it out, I mean, today, I think maybe the last Garden show, I think they might have sold out or come close to selling out, but they don't sell it out, and he sold it out every month. Every month for, what's that, 7 years, basically, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean? Yeah. And it was a big, Bruno was a big dude. I mean, he wasn't like, he wasn't Scott Steiner ripped. He was just a big, burly, strong, powerful type guy, and you know, I'm sure he didn't have the moveset that Lou Dez had.
Kind of like Dick the Bruiser or somebody like that, I think. You know, body wise.
No, I think he was more defined, and because you know, the Bruiser did have like a bit of a belly, you know.
Yeah.
And Bruno didn't really have a belly. He was just a big, thick dude, and Bruno's the type of guy who, if he would have been in his physical prime right now and have the supplements, and I'm not talking steroids, I'm just talking about fucking creatine and you know, shit like that, and then give him that bench press shirt that they wear, the dude probably bench pressed 800, 900 pounds if he came around the day. I mean, he was just one of them. I think first, Sports Illustrated might have run a thing saying he might have been like one of the 10 strongest men ever, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, he was just a big, big powerhouse. And he didn't have to have, like, a big moveset because one thing about the WWE, it was like this even when Hogan was champion. Basically, your title challengers, for the most part, and he did wrestle different people, but for the most part, he was wrestling, you know, just the big bruiser type guy, and he was able to be bigger and stronger than the bad guys. And, you know, and the formula worked. I mean, because although it wasn't, you know, he didn't just sell out Madison Square Garden all that time. He sold out Boston. You know, he sold out the thing in Pittsburgh. I mean, they're basically making a statue of him because of all the business he made at one of the, I forgot which stadium it was, but, You know, he's one of the most popular
any other wrestler that has a statue out. Is there any other that has a statue out that I don't know.
I'm sure El Santo probably has a few, and I'm not even sure if Bobo would have one.
Yeah.
You know, but those would be like the only people I could think of who would even come close to having a statue and stuff, But going back to like what some people are harping on is like him being, some people said he could be possibly be a hypocrite, and you know, he pretty much addressed that. And if you go back and listen to the interview, he's always had his things that he bitched about, and this is what he bitched about back then at the time, is he didn't like the steroids and drug use. You know,
he was always
against steroids and drug use, and then like time, when it came to like the attitude area that time, you know, they
didn't
did
he even get, he even had like a falling out with his son when he was on, because he found out he was on steroids or something too.
Dude, you know what? I must have did something wrong when I set the show. I just got a 10-second thing.
Holy shit, dude.
Well, we're still recording, but we're off the live feed, dude. Oh, wow. That's fucking crazy. I could have swore I pushed fucking the right thing. How long have we been on? 15 minutes?
Great. Jesus cool. Christ, dude.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious. I can't believe that. I better post something on the board before people start freaking out. Oh, man. Oh, well, I fucked up one time. I saved it last time, but I guess I didn't realize what the fuck I did this time.
God.
But look, going back to what I was saying, you know, he didn't like the profanity. He didn't like the nudity. And, you know, they never really had, well, actually they did have nudity. What am I talking about? There was plenty of fucking tits being shown on Raw at the time.
Yeah. And the cat took over off on, that was on pay-per-view, but still.
Yep, and someone's already reporting that the show went off. Oh, fuck, all right.
So are we on, or are we just having a conversation with ourselves?
We're recording. We're just not live.
Oh, okay.
So we still got like a good hour, at least 2 hours maybe. I'm not even sure how much we got, but we still got at least an hour or so. Let me put but still recording. Check the download. Oh, well, this had to happen here.
Did you want to shut it down and then start a new show?
Can we do that?
Well, let's see, it's 8:15. So we can start a new one at 8:30.
If you want to do that, that's fine.
Okay, let's just shut the show down and let me go set it to start back up at 8:30. How's that?
Okay, all right. As soon as we end here, I'll put that back in the thread. We're going to do a do-over. We're doing a do-over.
We got a mulligan. So.
Right. Well, you know what? That I don't know. That's kind of like what the use of downloads. We could just keep recording. I mean, we only have so many people who listen live anyway. It's not like that big of a deal.
I'm worried we'll get talking and then they'll say your show is over.
Well, we would know because they would, like, kick us off. I mean, we wouldn't just keep talking on our own, would we?
I don't know what the fuck's going on.
I'll say we just do it. I mean, most of our listeners are off the downloads anyway, so we'll just stay out doing this, and that way we don't have to have two different shows that people have to listen to or whatever.
Okay. Right. Now I'm confused. God damn.
Well, just keep going.
Good night to take off.
All right. I blame Craig. This is all Craig's fault. but anyway, like, you know, he had his concerns, and basically he said he watched the show, and he didn't see any profanity or any nudity. And
he's stupid enough to believe that everything bad has gone out of it. He's not that stupid because, I mean, I know people we'll bring up just like little stuff, you know, like The Rock said ass or something last week or something stupid. He's not stupid that he's going to think, well, everything is just clean as can be now. He's not that dumb, so.
Yeah, I mean, he even mentioned on David Bryan's show, he still has concerns when he sees Ryback and Biggie Langston, you know.
And
yeah. He specifically asked the doctor about that, and but basically, this whole thing, you know, people are saying Triple H got it done, and yes, he did got it done and deserves a lot of credit, but it's the doctor that's in charge of the wellness policy happens to be Bruno's doctor, who, like, Bruno credits with the fact that he can still walk. And, you know, so he talked to this guy and he trusts the guy, so it's easier for him to believe the guy. I mean, if it was just some doctor he didn't know, he could have like suspicions and like, you know, this is just paid for doctors, but he knows that it's not. He knows this guy, he trusts this guy, and basically this guy had the main part because, you know, he, like I said, he basically saw two guys and asked about them. And,
yeah.
You know, whether they are or they're not, they're passing. So, you know what I mean?
Okay,
I give the benefit of the doubt.
You got to give Triple H credit for being persistent, at least. You know?
Yeah, very. You know, I mean, staying on it, I mean, there's like, you know, Bruno's got his way set, and he's not going to, he has what he wants and wanted, and he wasn't going to budge. And then he'd have to go and then deal with Vince. You know what I mean?
He's not, Bruno's not stupid. He's not. Like, one of these is going to be easily manipulated or something like that. He's a smart guy, so.
Yeah, and like you're saying, it's in his contract. Let's say they want, oh, Bruno, we want you to go do this pay-per-view show up here, and Bruno's like, well, it's a little too far. I don't want to go. I don't have to go. So.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, it's
and actually makes me feel a little bit better about the future. I mean, Triple H making a deal like this, if he's going to be in charge, you know, eventually someday.
Yeah. So, yeah. And he'll be in charge as long as he doesn't fuck up and start fucking all the divas. As long as he doesn't start acting like Vince McMahon, he'll be all right.
There's a reason Vince McMahon ain't divorced. It's because he's got a shitload of money. And his wife will be entitled to a lot of it. That's the main reason Triple H is never going to get divorced unless something catastrophic happens.
Right.
Who do you think should induct him?
Well, he I think he said that the WWE was kind of hoping Arnold Schwarzenegger does it, and that would be big because that would give it some publicity, you know. And
it's not like William Shatner. He's inducting Jerry Lawler because Jerry Lawler gave him a monkey flip on Raw like 10 years ago or something like that. It's, you know, that they've been friends and stuff like that, so makes sense.
Yeah, friends, workout partners, and that it would actually be cool. And Arnold's always enthusiastic when he comes out. I mean, I think he'd be awesome, you know.
Yeah, maybe he's awesome on SmackDown like 10 years ago or something.
Yeah. And other than that, I mean, like, I guess a lot of people would say DiNucci because they're from, like, the same era or whatever.
Yeah.
I think he mentioned, like, Bill Watts, which that's going way, way, way back. And, you know, I don't think that I think that's the one person they try and talk him out of just for the fact that they don't want Bill to fucking go on his own and fucking do a four-hour introduction.
In his, when he was inducted, when he did his speech, he brought up what, he and Bruno, they didn't know what steroids were back then. We were, you know, we didn't need that kind of stuff. Right in his speech. So.
Yeah. So, but like, let's say, I actually wouldn't mind seeing, like, Dave Meltzer do the fucking introduction for Bruno.
I can guarantee you that will not happen.
That'd be so cool if it did so, you know. Yeah. But, yeah, it's going to be awesome. I mean, I can't wait. I'm excited.
I wouldn't mind, like, if Triple H did, since he's the one that puts all this together. And, you know, obviously, a lot of old-school history there. So, you know, we're putting all this together, so.
Yeah. I mean, he'd be fine to do it.
That's why I want to see the video of him and Vince meeting for the first time in 20 years or something.
I was about to say that they should put that on pay per view too. Make that its own pay per view event.
I don't know why they don't do that. I mean, I don't know why they don't put the Hall of Fame on pay per view like the night before WrestleMania, or even sell it like on a pay per view package with WrestleMania.
Yeah, like maybe an extra $5 if you watch the Hall of Fame or something.
Yeah, something like that. I think they're worried about what somebody's going to say, and they. I want to be able to edit the shit out of it. But
yeah.
They get the, I guess because they get the ratings in USA. I like it when they did it on the website, you know, all those years ago. Because I was able to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, really, I don't think they need any more than this class.
I know. They could just cut it off right where it's at. I mean, unless they're going to do, unless it's a favor, you know, a favor induction.
Yeah.
You know, like, you could throw in some, like, maybe, like, if Bruno had some friends that were, like, jobbers at the time, you could maybe throw one of them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even, like, at Ivan Koloff.
Oh, I thought maybe Zbyszko could induct him.
Oh, yeah, Zbyszko could induct him. That would work.
I think that was the first time I saw anything of Bruno, because I think the first time I saw really anything of his when, I think it was that first videotape of WWF, like, Volume 1, and it had the Zbyszko and San Martino feud, and showed the, you know, the, like, the scientific match where Larry turned heel, and they showed the Shea Stadium match. That's the first time I saw anything of Bruno.
Yeah, my first exposure to Bruno was off the Athlete magazine, and, reading, you know, I mean, a lot of that was reading about the Zbyszko feud, and, then he did some commentary, and then I remember his comeback, and he was so good on his comeback, and he was
so
over.
He came back in the mid-'80s, he came back. I know he worked with Savage a little when Savage injured Ricky Steamboat, and I think San Martino attacked him in the locker room or something because he was so appalled at what he did to him when he drove the thing, the bell into his throat. Who else? I know he did some matches with, he teamed with like Tito Santana against Randy Savage, and they did a cage match, Tito and Bruno against Randy Savage and Adorable Adrian in the Garden.
Uh-huh.
He was in the Battle Royal at WrestleMania 2. I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember the Battle Royal.
He did himself with Roddy Piper. Did like a live Piper spit in Madison Square Garden or something like that, and ended up in a big brawl. And he and Orndorff, I think, teamed up against Piper and Orton in, like, the Boston Gardens and Madison Square Garden and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like I say, he still looked pretty good at that time.
Yeah. I haven't seen enough of his stuff to say that, like, I'm that big of a fan. But, you know, you got to have respect for the guy.
Yeah, just the history and importance. I mean, this is actually, you know, people... It's easy to realize how big of an event this is. I mean, this is a big fucking deal.
Just look at the looks on the faces of those people watching that video when they shot to the crowd on Monday.
Yeah.
I mean, these people were fucking standing. I bet you most of them didn't even know who the hell he was.
Right. That was a good video.
That was one of those chill bump moments. Give you chill bumps when you're watching stuff like that. That was cool.
Chill bumps. Goosebumps.
And you know, I'd like to see a DVD documentary or something like that. And other than talk of like a movie and stuff like that, and so I'd like to see some of that stuff.
Yeah, it'd be a good one to watch. I love the biography DVDs are usually the best ones, and I'm sure they could come up with a lot of good stuff.
Somebody can find a match where he's wrestling a bear or something. I'm sure he's wrestled a bear or something.
Well, I'm sure he has. I wish they had footage of when he took on that orangutan that kicked his ass. Basically, like, he was in Pittsburgh, he was famous for being a big, strong guy, and they're, like, strong, like, man things, and basically, this is in a time before PETA was, like, would bust you for fucking around with animals or whatever. Basically, they had, like, a thing where they... Come wrestle this monkey, and I think they had like it was on like a morning show or something, and I think they might have just showed like a little monkey, and then so his friends talk him into going to do this. He's like, I could take on a monkey, so he goes in there and there's like the cage and it's covered, and he just hears all this commotion. He's like, what's going on? How could that little monkey make all that noise? And then when they take the curtain, it's like a big ass orangutan, and Bruno goes in the cage. And this orangutan just starts kicking his ass and beating his ass. And Bruno tries to, like bear hug him or, like, whatever, but the monkey just, orangutans are actually pretty powerful and strong. And You know, so basically he's fucking just, he's getting his ass kicked. He's like, fuck it, I'm gonna punch this monkey. So he punched the monkey in the stomach with everything he had, and it kind of knocked the wind out of the monkey. But it was a disqualification because he wasn't supposed to punch the monkey, so he didn't get, he ended up getting his ass kicked that whole time and didn't get the money because he got disqualified for punching the monkey in the stomach. That's actually, that's one of the funniest stories ever. And you know, it's so funny because it's like, you know, they had all this trouble making the movie of his life because he won't, like, go for the, any Hollywoodization of the movie.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, he's kind of right, though, because you don't need a fucking Hollywood, you know, you don't have to make a big deal about his story. You know what I mean? Because it's, he's got a lot of crazy stuff, like his daily... During the war, they lived on in the woods in the mountain, and his mom would have to come down and scavenge her food. And one time she got shot and still made it back with food and stuff. And I think they wanted to, one of the movie theaters, like one of the studios wanted to have like his wife of his mother be like real beautiful and like, you know, elegant. And she's like, no, we were living in the woods. She, you know what I mean? I mean, it's just, you know, it's just, it's better the real story than the Hollywood story.
He might be, you know, think a little bit more about it, like maybe right, maybe the most famous wrestler of all time.
He's one of them. I mean, he really is, because he was, like I said, champion for like a long time. It's like guys, like it's the most famous wrestlers of all time. I would probably say be like Bruno, Lutez, Flair, Hogan, Austin, Rock, and then
Andre,
yes, Andre, of course, and I think Andre would probably be the most famous one, but yeah, he was up there, and then he would go to Japan, and I think he even sold Giant Baba his Cadillac because the cars in Japan were too small for him, so he sold Baba his Cadillac so he'd have some leg space. But at one point he was also blackballed. He was a blackball wrestler. I think the only place he could work was like Toronto for who was the guy who was the president of like Jack Tunney. I think
Frank
Jack Tunney was like the only guy who would hire him.
I think it was Frank Tunney, wasn't that Jack Tunney's father or something?
Oh, maybe, you know, I just still want to, but it was
yeah,
one
Frank,
of the
I think it's Frank, it's Frank Tunney, that's right.
Okay, and, yeah, so, yeah, it's awesome that he's going in there, dude. I'm happy as shit.
Yeah, me too.
So we could get to, or did you have anything else on Bruno?
No, nothing else. I'm really excited about it. I've never been the biggest fan of Bruno. I mean, not like I haven't seen enough of him, but yeah, this is big news, and I'm very excited about it.
The thing like with Bruno is like back then when all this, when the shit went down, basically, Bruno came off real bitter and real angry, and Vince kept it. Vince outsmarted Bruno at that time because Bruno came out bitter, angry, yelling, just like, you know, and Vince just played it calm and cool and, you know, I don't know, and this and that. And then they had the thing with, the, you know, David or whatever. And Vince came off looking better than Bruno did. And, you know, and so a lot of people remember being Bruno. Like, we know we, and then, like, lately, you know, Bruno's done, like, the show with David and Brian, and you get to hear that he's not, like, really bitter, and you really get to hear his side of the story more. So, you know, I think a big part of like how people's opinion of Bruno has changed is because of the shows that he did with the Brian and Dave.
I think Vince being left out of this deal so far is probably one of the main things that's got it done. You know, have been made after they've done after they signed everything. So
yeah, so. like you said, I wish we could watch that. But I have a question for you.
Okay.
Okay, if I go, okay, I'm on YouTube, all right?
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck do I go to your page?
YouTube.com/Petrer.
Okay, let me add that. Capital C or a small C?
I think it's just small C.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I found it. So let me. Okay. I gotta work my way through here.
There should be a playlist called WCCW on there.
Okay, I'm going to deep. So let's see here. Let's go. We'll do the world class one first. So okay, here's the world class one. Okay, I pushed the wrong thing. Okay. Yes, we are. We're very prepared on this show.
Yeah, we don't even know if we're recording anything.
I'm sure we're recording because we're still on here. So anyway, here I'm clicking on the mat. Let's see here. I'm pausing it. I'm going to enlarge it here. And are you ready to push play?
Yeah, I got it set up.
All right, I'm pushing play right now.
All right.
And this is a match we were going to cover a while back where we kind of ran out of time. And just right off the bat, I love this fucking match just because it's the favorite Von Erich. And it's on the 4th of July, and I think it's at, like, the Texas Fair or around that time. And the Freebirds aren't coming out to Freebirds. They're not coming out to Bad Streets. They're coming out to freaking Willie Nelson, dude. It's like, that's got to be an insult to have a Texas legend singing about fucking Georgia and Texas.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a fucking awesome song. This is one of Willie's, like, best fucking songs, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that'd be coming out on the radio here. But, yeah, this is, like, to me, this match is probably the greatest of all their matches. I mean, it's just such an awesome match. It had plenty of time. And, basically, the Freebirds come down. Michael Hayes had that fucking awesome mullet, rock star hair, fucking Freebird robe. Like, he had, like,
rocking the rebel flag.
Yeah, the Confederate flag. And he has, like, it's like his robe was like a cross between Ric Flair's robe and the Macho Man's robe.
Yeah.
So it looked like a robe, but then he could spread it out. And
stay in the South, there'd be a protest. Come out with
right,
that.
Right, yeah, that's good. Terry Gordy's got, like, chaps and his big-ass cowboy hat, and this is after the hair match with Buddy Roberts has the headpiece on with the wig. And they got the six-man championship, which were not belts. It was just a big ass one. It was like 3 foot, 4 foot trophy. And here comes Von Erich coming up to Davis music, coming up to some LaGrange. And you could just see the crowd go fucking crazy once the music plays. And now they're being raped and molested. And they wasn't that far from the ring, and David actually has an awesome, like, fucking jacket on. Terry's kind of like more like a boxing ring. And Kevin looks like he's kind of got his inside out. He might, you know. Kevin always kind of seemed like he was a little out there sometimes. The most prestigious title, but it was only around, like, when they were, like, basically when the Von Erich and Freebirds were here.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, like, the NWA, or, like, in Crockett would try and have a six-man, and it just wasn't the same.
That was just so dusty to team up with the Road Warriors, I think, and have a title.
Yeah. Remember when they locked the Dirt Jack dog in the Sting in the dressing room?
Yeah, that was the match that made Baba cancel his deal with the NWA.
Yeah. Man, they used a lot of like sparkles or like they thought glitter or whatever to make these fucking outfits. I mean, they are pretty fucking impressive.
I think the only other heels aside from people is the ones that six-man titles, but didn't like Gino and Chris and Jake Knight hold the belt?
Yeah, that was like the big feud of Von Erich against them three. And I think when they won the titles, the way the feud started was the Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy came in at faces, and they won the six-man title for the first time with David because Buddy wasn't there yet. And I didn't think who they won, but it was probably someone like a Wild Bill Urn or just a mismatch of some of the heels that were there at the time.
Yeah, it was awesome because David gave up his part of the championship to Buddy Roberts, who wasn't there, but then the Freebirds turned on him at the end of the night. So.
Yeah. And he might have just heard all the fans start squealing there a second ago because Terry took off his robe and you just hear the Dustin folks just get loud. That's the one thing about the Wolfpack. It was just like a screech, you know. It was like a... There were loud faces across the country, but you didn't hear stuff like this. It's like,
yeah.
You know, people bring up Ricky Morton. Ricky Morton didn't have shit on the Von Erich infection, dude. Seriously.
It's just like rock concert type atmosphere.
Yeah. It was crazy. I mean, the girls and the women, they got fired up during the matches. Michael Hayes is doing an awesome fucking strut. He had one of the best struts. So this is so, like, out there. And, basically, we're starting off with Terry and Michael Hayes getting ready to start. So Michael Hayes is sporting all the chest hair. You don't see that too much nowadays. Wow, they're moving pretty fast here. Rock was just so great. They're fucking, you know, picking up the fans. And like when they separated there, he kind of, like, when he moved, he kind of, like, did a little femininely, so looking like James.
Like, I would watch those Legends Roundtable. He just comes off as an obnoxious fuck in real life.
Yeah, he does. I mean, even on the World Pass DVD, you know, he's kind of like that. But he's just one of those people that he would know how to make every single person in the room hate him.
Yeah. I put him right up there, like, with, like, a... I don't know, like maybe a Ric Flair or somebody as far as talking goes. Great talker.
Yeah, he was great, man. He was great. He was awesome because he could be funny, and he could be serious, and he could switch back and forth pretty quick. And I think Terry's got to take a bump right there. Anyway, Hayes is tagging in Terry Gordy, and Terry's tagging in David, and... these two guys had a lot of fucking chemistry. I always loved watching David and Terry go at it. And they just played the whole thing up the week, like right before they locked up, they're just kind of like giving each other the once over. And it's just. Terry was so fucking awesome. And it's amazing how such a fat dude can move around so much. And I watched the other day, I watched the match in St. Louis, the handicap match with David and Harley Race.
Uh-huh.
And David filled out a little since that match. I mean, he was always skinny, even at the end, you know, at the end he was still kind of skinny, but he is a little heavier than when he first started. And he's kind of like, he's like a young Barry Windham, you know, like a really young Barry Windham. And He had a height. That's one good thing that David had. He wasn't like super tall, but he was tall enough, and
like flipping out.
He had to look at his face like he wanted to take a shit or something.
He's probably worried about his car or something.
Right? And the fans
or something.
And the fans are just going crazy. I mean, they just used to eat up like crazy. They just perfect. Get off the stop. And David just punched Spencer Hayes off the ring. I love Terry Gordy after he gets rammed into the corner. He always felt that badass. And then he just took a crazy bump off a drop kick off of Kevin. And seriously, you can't tell me that Kevin Von Erich does not think this is legit right now.
Was what now?
You can't tell me that Kevin doesn't think this is a legit match going on right now.
I don't think if he ever realized this was not real. All
right.
Because every time I hear about somebody that faced Kevin, is that he went out there and just beat the shit out of him.
But you know what? He's like a I would say Rob Van Dam is like a second generation kind of like a Kevin Von Erich, because you know he might have been kicking people and knocking the shit out of them, but he lets you do the same to him. And if you watch a lot of these matches with the Freebirds or Chris Adams, and they kick it to Kevin. I mean, it's not a one-way thing.
Yeah, they're laying him in too.
Yeah. And I think like on a shoot-in, Chris Adams talked about how him and Gino would do everything they could to fucking like blow him up, like give him power drivers on the outside or whatever, just to try and slow him down. And they say Terry just chased Terry Gordy all across the ring and just started beating the fuck out of him. Just getting a little out of hand here. And now David's coming in and he's a house of fire. He's going after the hair piece. And it's so funny because they never actually ever got like a good grip on it or whatever. All you had to do was touch it and everyone would start fucking going crazy. Now we got a headlock, so unlike today's thing, he's got a chin lock on and the crowd's going crazy.
Yeah. And
nowadays you get boring chants after like 10 seconds. And that's the one thing
probably,
I listen about
time. Trying to calm this fool down so he'll quit hitting people. Hitting people for real. Instead of getting hit.
But like back then, it was like you could take like a rest hold and it would actually still mean something because the people would still be fucking crazy. Kevin basically rolled across the ring, Tyson and David. David beating the shit out of Buddy. Oh, he just nailed a fucking Rick Haynes. That's the one thing about David. He was an awesome brawler, dude. I mean, he really was. He just threw the Hardy race knee. He had an awesome Hardy race knee, but he turned his back. And Buddy, before he took the knee, made the blind tag to Terry, and Gordy came off the top rope.
It's a 2 out of 3 falls?
Yeah, 2 out of 3 falls. He came off the top rope and got the pin, and then the victory dance that Terry Gordy does was just awesome. He just starts, like, high-stepping. Sorry, well, not high-stepping, but, like, kicking his knees up off. All high and rowdy. And David's down, acting like he's hurt. So, the Freebirds had scored the first blood of the match.
Did you ever see any David Hill stuff he did in Florida?
No, but I'd like to.
There's some of it on YouTube. I'll have to find it.
If you ever do, let me know. I mean, I just barely, like I said, saw the stuff from St. Louis, and that was awesome.
I think he was like doing. He had some sort of relationship with Dory Funk Jr. who was in Florida, too, and they were healed.
Yeah. So I think he's being open here. And now they're starting the second pin, and David's got to start the second thing, I guess, since he was the legal man in the first thing. So isn't it fucking diet? Doesn't he diet like a Like a day or two?
Who? David?
David. Not in real time. I'm talking about, like, the anniversary of his death. Isn't it maybe been a couple of days?
I think so. I know it was in February.
Girl.
Not sure the exact date. I know it was February.
So. He just actually wrestled his last match like a day or two ago would have been the anniversary. Anyway, he pushed Terry Gordy into the ropes and Gordy knocked Buddy Roberts all the way to the floor. So now Buddy's on the floor and Michael Heenan is outraged. And I know he died in February.
I'm looking it up right now.
They tried it out. They did the spot where Gordy was kind of holding David to make a tag so they could hold him and then take advantage, but he escaped, and Michael Hayes was outraged and appalled. Just like, hey, and a big part of Michael Hayes is the hair, because just like his little movements, and then, you know, the whole hair goes.
Yeah.
And then the referee is David Manning, and David Manning will probably be famous for being the very first, like, babyface referee. Oh. Ace is in the corner, like, pissing everyone off, and as soon as he jumps off, David sucker and now he's taking advantage, and, oh, that was awesome. They did the triple Von Erich dropkick, but still away the Rock and Roll Express double dropkick away.
Sunday will be the anniversary of his death.
Okay, he's away. So, yeah, you know, first, like, major death. Here comes Terry Gordy beating up on David. He kind of looked like he didn't know what he wanted to do. He's a body slam, power slam.
Yeah.
He just kind of did both. And then he throws a big Terry Gordy knee. And, Gordy, he's a big dude. And it's not like he was flabby, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He didn't have muscles, like, really, like, have muscle tone, but it's not like he was flabby. But he was just a big fucking dude. Now we got Buddy in there. Buddy actually, even though he was the older one, he was the one that, like, did almost all the work.
Yeah.
Okay. Next right there on David. And, it's only been, what, a couple months since Buddy died, as I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was kind of sad seeing him on the World Class DVD, just seeing how, like, he's having to talk trachea. But, Terry just came in. He just shot over that top rope like nothing. Dude. That's the one thing about Terry, as big and jacked as he was, he could fucking move before the accident.
Yeah, I mean, he's really agile.
You know, they talked about Donnie and Jonathan, but as far as, like, big man, before the accident, I think Terry Von Erich was the most agile big man. And then Terry Gordy wasn't that far behind. I mean, because he was even bigger.
Yeah.
But Terry could, like, it's not like he did any, like, super high-flying moves, but, like, just the way he jumped in the ring. I mean, just that athleticism that he had. I mean, it's just amazing. All the things he had that he didn't even know he had. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he would have just had half the flu and didn't do any drugs, hey, he'd be in the Hall of Fame, dude. I mean, I remember hearing, like, I think they were talking about a book, and it was like 50 Best Wrestlers or something like that. And Dave kind of, like, he ended up bringing up Terry. And, and he wasn't just for, like, a short time. I mean, he had a good 10, 12 years, but he had it for, like, 4 or 5 years. I mean, we're talking about he could have rattled Hulk Hogan as far as being the top fucking star at the time. I mean, everything about Terry Von Erich is fucking a star. It's like he was super agile for his size. And then, like right now, like, how many other guys this size can actually get sympathy?
Michael Hayes is applying a bear hug to Gary Von Erich. That just looks weird.
It looks weird, and Kerry's kind of selling it, but he's not, like, selling it like he's dying.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's you know, he's already starting to look like he's going to try and fight it. But
just weird seeing Michael Hayes use a bear hug.
Yeah. And now he's, and then the bear hug is actually a big part of the match because it leads to a spot coming up that's just fucking awesome.
Okay.
And now Buddy's in there. I bet Buddy loves wearing that head thing because it just softens a lot of the blows that he's had to take, you know.
He didn't have to worry about Kevin smacking him in the ears.
Kerry was by far the lightest of the three, but even he would kind of, like, every once in a while get excited. It's kind of funny thinking that the biggest one's the softest one to work with, you know.
Yeah.
And they do, it's just a big double clothesline on Kerry, so it looks like he's out. Kerry Gordon stepping around like a madman. Crowd going crazy with Kerry kicking out.
Well, he ran the guy with the headgear's head into somebody.
Yeah, and then the one with the headgear's was telling him like his head's about. I mean, he put his hand on the headgear. Oh, so now they're having a big brawl and
a couple clotheslines.
Yeah, like Buddy Roberts, they threw Buddy across the rope. And David was outside the ring, but him and Kerry locked up for, like, the double clothesline, and they clotheslined the crap out of Buddy as he came off. So,
Kevin's in a bad mood now. He's waylaying on Michael Hayes.
Yeah, well, Michael Hayes jumped on him. He should have known better. And there goes Terry Gordy out for distance points. And for a second there, it looked like Kevin was about to dip on David. And he's still kicking.
I remember the
one match where they beat up Kevin? Like before the match.
He was all bloody.
And he came back out like with the dry blood and bandages. And he started beating up the fever and he started beating up David.
Yeah, beating the shit out of it. What's David Manning saying?
He's saying that no more, it's you know, one-on-one in the ring, and yeah, if you will disqualify, they keep it up.
He ain't having all these
He just demanded that they bring out Bronco Lubick, so they have two referees, so there's no shenanigans. Michael Hayes is very appalled at this dude. So they're bringing out, both guys have the first babyface referee, and they also have the oldest, slowest referee in history.
Well, as Gorilla Monsoon used to say, you need two refs for these tag matches.
And it's taking Bronco so long that they just did a jump at it. Here comes Bronco. Bronco was like, he was an old-time wrestler, but now at this time he was a referee. And they didn't show it, but apparently he failed Michael Hayes. Oh, he just pushed Buddy Roberts. Really, just threw Buddy back in by the head, Joe.
They gonna have both these refs in the ring?
Yeah.
Well, that's the elbow.
He did the Dino Hernandez elbow.
Oh, you know what that was?
Yeah, like for where you're facing the crowd and you jump backwards with the elbow instead of doing like a Macho Man. That Rio Hernandez used to do that a lot. The thing about rope passes is their ropes are very loose. You know what I mean? You couldn't really go. I don't think you could do like a Shooting Star or something off of these ropes.
It's difficult enough when Bronco Lopez is the only referee in the ring. Now you got two.
Man, Kerry's a fucking sell, dude. Oh, Brody just jumped on top of his stomach. I don't think he was selling that one. I think that was real.
How old was Terry Boyer when he started wrestling? Like 15 years old? 14?
Yeah, 15, 14. I mean, he was young, but he was already like the size of a full-grown-ass man. He was probably bigger than a, you know, a big-ass man.
Yeah.
Oh, he just fucking kicked the shit out of Kerry. Look at all those old, early 80s hair dudes and all the chicks in the audience. Can you imagine just being a Von Erich for one night back then and all the pussy you could have got? I mean, they probably could have gotten like 50 times in one night if they wanted to. Oh, he's going crazy. He just cares. It's funny because Bronco and David Maddie keep doing the same hand gestures at the same time, but on the opposite sides of each. Like, even right there, they both got their hand out, like, asking. It's actually kind of funny.
It's just a poster. Then you get Bronco out of the ring.
The Hayden's going back to the bear hug, and he's having a little more effect because we've been looking over Kerry. Because Kerry getting ready to fire back. He had his hands in the air, and he's going through the face. Or it looked like he was going to go for the claw. And he's got Michael Caine cinching in the bear hug. And, he's doing a USC move. He's doing a USC move to break the hold. And he hits off Michael Caine out of the room. And here comes B.S. Gordy. And Gordy goes right back to the bear hug. Now, this is a little more believable as far as the bear hug.
Yeah.
He's not killing him, though. You can tell he's getting Kerry Patton stressed there. but the story of this fall is like a bear hug on Kerry. So he's finally starting to fight back. Or he's trying to give Kerry, and Kerry has been doing some trip back. He actually threw Gordy across the ring and came running, and Gordy caught him and put him back in the barrel. And here comes Buddy Roberts. Buddy Roberts is about to put Kerry in the barrel hug.
Kerry kind of got that look like, what the fuck are you doing?
He had to look like he was about to sell it because he's like I'm going to barrel hug it. And he's like, what the fuck? And he's... He just started singing Buddy Roberts. It was believable when it was Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy, but was Buddy Roberts with the bear hug on Kerry? Kerry's like, what the fuck? There's a flash there. That was awesome.
That'd be like Sean Waltman putting a bear hug on Diesel in his next tag team match.
Right.
Or something like that.
But that was an awesome spot, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the little story that they tell in the wrestling match, that was awesome.
So you kind of had that look like, you expect me to sell this?
Yeah. It was awesome. It was an awesome look. I mean, that was just one of the best moments of the match. Kevin, man, awesome drop.
Kevin was the best at getting the hot tag, coming in and cleaning up.
Oh, yeah, because he came in like in the house of fire. And he's going for the claw, but he's blocking the claw. Well, actually, Damon was pretty good at making a hot tag, too, but Kevin just came in like this, well, like you say, he came in legit, but he's got the abdominal flaw on Michael Hayes. Which, to me, I think would hurt more than the head flaw, you know, really.
Maybe that's how Dusty got the thing on his stomach.
Right, he wrestled Fritz or something.
Somebody put the claw on him.
The put the claw on his belly and busted a bunch of blood vessels and stayed permanently. Kevin Owens was fucking, he didn't have the size that Kerry had, but he was put together. I mean,
yeah.
He was, I don't want to say Rick Rude, but he was pretty close to Rick Rude as far as like six pack. I mean, he had everything to find on him. He also had like some of the biggest fucking thighs for like a guy his size.
I never understood the not wearing boots.
I think he did it because it would be the only way he could get enough traction to do that fucking body press off the top rope that he did. Because those ropes are pretty loose.
I just figured, you know, Lord knows what's on the floor of the wrestling mat.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, well, they just took out David Manning. And I think like I saw like a Jack Victor shoot interview where he says that Kevin will walk around the airport barefoot. So it's like he actually went everywhere fucking barefoot.
I wonder if he got to go in McDonald's and he, you know, no shoes, no shirt, no service.
Well, I think they're going to accept him for a Von Erichs. And they're having like a David and Buddy are fighting and Michael Hayes and Kerry Gordy were beating up Kerry, but they're missing comeback.
Kevin's going up top.
See, look at those ropes, dude. Look at that.
Well, that's pretty
There's
awesome.
No way you can do that with boots on. It was Bronco, so it was kind of slow. But he hit the flying body press and pinned Michael Hayes. And the crowd's going crazy. But they're still going at it. Look at that lady going crazy, dude. Can't tell me that the people in this audience don't think this is for real. Kerry Gordy, for some reason, went back in the ring and just got drop kicked in the face by Kevin. That wasn't very smart. And there they are with their trophies. Oh, the Philly furniture now. That way it's still going all crazy. That's crazy, man. If someone tried to do that today, they threw the steps in, so they got the trophy on the steps, and then they threw a chair in, so David's kicking back on the chair. That wasn't awesome. My friends, I have no more voice. More? What could they have after this? I mean, really, look at all that. That was a fucking awesome, awesome match.
Yeah, it was great. That's the first time I've ever seen that.
Oh, it is? Oh. What else is... Okay, there's like four things here, but two of them are deleted. What happened to the... What was deleted?
I have no idea. Sometimes it's hard for me to remember what I put so much stuff up there. It's hard for me to remember what I put up there. So.
Well, I guess we're still recording here, so it seems like we're all good. Now, I'm not sure. How much time do we get for, like, the overrun? Like an hour or 2 hours?
I think an hour, so I'm not sure.
Okay, if it's an hour, then we got 6 minutes. So let me drop the plugs here real quick. Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always check out and download our show at angrymarks.com along with all the other shows. Check out angrymarks.com. You can always hear our show at blogtalkradio.com/Couture and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo. So check them all out and follow and retweet our stuff on Twitter. You got anything you want to plug?
Hey, I'll pull my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Couture. There's a bunch of playlists and old shit up there. Go there and check it out.
So I'm kind of, like I say, I don't know if we're going to get cut off here in 5 minutes. So do you want to just run your match and just talk until we get cut off? Or we'll just
start it and we'll hope for the best.
Okay, well, let me get to Facebook here.
Okay, and, I got to get my Daily Motion app on my Xbox.
Okay, this one's on Daily Motion.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm always amazed at something I can't find on YouTube. Like, how could this not be here?
You know what? I have a job for you. I need you to find me something. I love watching some of those like videos, the music videos that WWE did, and they did one to the official WWE one to Mike Sacrifice. Now they did do other ones to Mike Sacrifice, like a Jeff Hardy one, but I'm talking about the Mike Sacrifice video with everybody. I couldn't find that on YouTube the other day, so if you run across it, let me know.
Okay.
So I'm clicking on the link right here. Let's see here.
And I hate when I do find something I'm looking for on YouTube and the only copy of it up there is because some jackass took his camcorder and pointed it at his TV and recorded it. that shit pisses me off so bad. Like, I need to hear your comments in your living room.
Right. Well, I'm getting a fucking commercial here. Damn, I was about to say something, but I forgot. But let's see here.
Advertising. There's an ad.
Okay. You want me to stop it?
Yeah, stop it, because I got an ad here. Maybe just, if you can, rewind your port back to the start. Okay. Hold on just a sec. You're advertising detergent on Daily Motion.
I got lucky. I got Robert Williams doing sneakers.
I'm sure I got a tag good. Commercial. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Razor Ramon and my 1-2-3 kids versus Shawn Michaels and D-Rock.
For the tag team title.
Yeah, tag team match. It's almost amazing to see Razor Ramon and the suit of health like that.
Okay.
The heels are being very heelish in this sneak attack. Oh, and they just canceled by game manager. So. Oh, it's gone with the awesome kick. And those are Zingo. It's amazing that D-Lo could go out of the ring over the top rope and be able to land on his feet, because we never really did see him all that coordinated. Uh-oh. I'm getting buffered about this.
Uh-oh. Are you back on now?
Yeah, I'm back on.
Okay.
I got ready to just chase them out of the ring. How long did it take